There's a conference table and a modern, by laundry standards, laptop set up at one end of it. A whole shitload of electronics racked up on shelves behind, along with some thick leather-bound books and a bunch of stuff like silver pencils, jars of moldy dust, and what looks for all the world like a polygraph. As I go in, I notice that the doorframe is unusually thick and there are no outside windows. "Is this shielded?" I ask. Nick nods jerkily.
"Well spotted, that man. Now sit down," he suggests.
I sit. The top shelf of the equipment rack is dominated by a glass bell jar with a human skull in it. I grin back at it.
"Alas, poor Yorick. Carry on like you have been, and maybe your head will fetch up in there one day," Nick says, grinning. "Ah."
The door opens.
"Andy."
"Why am I here?" I ask. "All this cloak and dagger shit is..." Andy drops a fat lever arch file on the table in front of me.
"Read and enjoy," he says dryly. "One day you too can have the fun of maintaining this manual."
I open the cover to be confronted by a sheet which basically says I can be arrested for so much as thinking about disclosing the contents of the next page. I flip to page 2 and read a paragraph that essentially says, "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here." So I turn that one over and get to the title page. Field Operations Manual for Counter-Occult Operations. Below it, in small print, approved by Departmental Quality Assurance Team, and then complies with BS5750, standard for Total Quality Management. I shudder. "Since when have we been into mummification?" I ask.
"Embalming."
Andy frowns for a moment.
"Oh, you mean total quality."
He stops and clears his throat.
"One of these days your sense of humour is going to get you into trouble, Bob."
"Thanks for the advance warning." I look at the manual gloomily.
"Let me guess. I'm to do as we discussed earlier. By the book.
This book, right? Why wasn't I issued it before Santa Cruz?" Andy pulls out the chair beside me and flops down in it.
"Because that wasn't officially an operation," he says in tones of sweet reason. "That was an informal information-gathering exercise involving a non-classified source. Operations require sign-off at director level. Informal information-gathering exercises don't."
I put the folder down on the table. "Does Bridget have anything to do with this?"
"Tangentially."
Nick sniffs loudly from his post by the door.
"Ass covering, boy. That was meant to be a risk-free chat. This is about what you do when you're ordered to stick your head in the lion's mouth, or up its ass to inspect the hemorrhoids."
I look round at him. "You're planning on sending me on an op?" I ask.
"Happy joy. Not."
Andy glances at Nick.
"He's beginning to get it," he comments.
"Are you planning on involving Professor O'Brien in this?" I ask. "I mean, it seems to me that she's the one under threat, isn't she?"
"Well,"
Andy glances at Nick, then back at me.
"You're on active service, so you need to know this stuff inside out and upside down. But you're right. The specific reason for this session is what happened the other night. I can't confirm or deny the identities of anyone else involved, though."
"Then I've got a problem," I tell him. "I don't know if I should bring it up right now, but if I sit on it and I'm wrong..." "Well, the way I see it is, Mo is the one who's under threat and in need of protection, right? I mean, I can cope with being drooled over by things with more tentacles than brains, but it's not exactly part of her job description, is it? You're supposed to be responsible for her safety. If you've got me going over rules of engagement and she's involved, then when the shooting starts..." Andy is nodding. It's a bad sign when your boss starts nodding at you before you finish each sentence.
"As a matter of fact, I agree with your concerns completely," he says. "And yes, I agree we've got a problem. But it's not quite what you think it is."
He leans forward and makes a steeple out of his fingers, elbows together on the table. The steeple leans sideways at an architecturally unsound angle.
"We can probably keep her safe indefinitely," as long as she's locked down under a protection program and resident in one of our secure accommodation units. That's not in question. If nobody can see or track her, they can't attack her. Although I'm not sure about the inability to track, given that they must have obtained samples in order to spring that incubus on her last month. What concerns me is that such a posture is essentially defensive. We don't know for sure just what we're defending against, Bob, and that's bad.